This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us in the Trocare College live line, we were talking with Michael Cornell about the Department of Education. And yesterday, the president signing an executive order looking to, well, basically end the Department of Education. Michael, we're trying to find the local impact and how this really will impact schools here in Western New York. Now, we know a lot of funding, a lot of what schools do, their directives and everything comes from the state. But where does the federal government come into the equation?
Good morning to you both. There's a few ways that people typically experience an impact from the U.S. Department of Education. And first, you know, things are moving fast. You know, this is what I understand to be the case today from talking to some folks. But it feels like because things move so fast, the shelf life of information is shorter than it's ever been. So, you know, things could change as time goes on here, and they figure out how they're going to unwind this thing and if they can even do it, which is something we can talk about too. But, you know, primarily for kids in K-12 education and families, you know, we feel the impact of the federal government through the federal title grant programs, Title I funds, and the like. And there's no indication that the actual money that comes to school districts through the mechanisms designed by the U.S. Department of Education will end. I've been in contact with Nick Langworthy's office regularly over the course of the first couple of months to understand the impact of whatever the president and the administration are saying, the impact on schools. And I talked for a while, and you know, there isn't any indication that federal grant programs will be cut. And frankly, there have been, in years past, significant cuts to title grants on the table. And, you know, at this point, those kinds of cuts are not on the table. So I think that's really important. Another way that schools are impacted by funding flows, at least through the Department of Education, is Medicaid reimbursements. So we provide certain services for students with disabilities, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and the like, which we do a lot of that in schools, some of those services are reimbursed through the U.S. Department of Education through the Medicaid program. So that's going to remain. And the other thing is the federally subsidized student loan program and Pell Grants, which, you know, that's something that's important to a lot of families. And, you know, that's going to remain. Now, that process is a little bit messed up for about 6 months this year, so maybe the process and methodology around that could be refreshed a bit, and maybe some fresh eyes on that would be good. But generally speaking, that's the way the federal government impacts schools. And the other thing, you know, is the testing program. The Future Aid testing program is a creature of the federal government and the Every Student Succeeds Act, No Child Left Behind Before It, Race to the Top in the Middle. Which you've heard me say many times, you know, if that went away, I don't think you'd see too many tears shed, certainly in New York State, if that went away and replaced it with something that made a heck of a lot more sense. So generally speaking, that's how we're impacted by it. And then there's the question is whether or not he can get rid of it. And constitutionally, the president can starve it, the president can repurpose it, but he can't eliminate it. And I just don't think that there's the votes in the House, the two-seat majority, to even get a vote out on that. So getting rid of probably not the cards.
Michael, has your opinion of this, has it changed since you heard about it the first time?
Has my opinion about him wanting to get rid of it?
Yes.
You know, it's an interesting question. I mean, there's nothing more important, you know, in the lives of kids than school. And to me, anything that we can do to shine the light of doing amazing things for kids in school every day, we should do it. And to the extent that having a Department of Education allows us to do that, you know, I think that it performs some important functions that we want to make sure that we don't lose. I mean, let's not forget, there's no publicly funded institution, certainly in New York State, that has been more successful at fulfilling its mission over the past 100 years as public education. Now, a lot of that's driven by the state, but we do need help from the federal government. You know, we're not perfect. We're always trying to get better. But the reality of it is there does need to be some federal investment in education, frankly, more of it. I mean, the federal investment in education is like a rounding error in the overall federal budget. So, you know, I think that if we're going to have a conversation about the federal role and what's an important federal role and what's an important federal investment so that it doesn't all fall on local taxpayers and kids' success doesn't become a function of the zip code, like, I'm all in for that conversation. But, you know, the conversation is predicated these days around at least having some kind of point, you know, locus point for that conversation at the federal level. And I don't know that it's a good thing if that goes away.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
You know, Michael, it seems like a lot of what's happening in Washington focusing on efficiency is focusing on cutting things back and this idea that there's so much wasteful spending and we need to roll everything back and just cut. I'm wondering if there's maybe an alternative viewpoint to that, saying that, well, that's not the way. There is a lot of waste, but the way to get around the waste isn't necessarily to cut, but it's maybe just to alter the way we look at things, to look at these laws, and maybe you actually need to spend more to become more efficient in the long run, to have your dollar go a little bit further. Do you think this is being looked at the right way? I mean, instead of cutting things out, should we rather be looking at, well, just a way that we can invest more wisely?
Yeah. And when it comes to an education, it is an investment. There's no federal, state, or local expenditure that pays greater dividends than educating kids. That's a fact. People might not love the math and English scores we get on these tests that are the nation's report card, and I'm using finger quotes, but that's one measure of how we do our work in schools. So I think if we invested differently, it would make a difference. If we invested more, it would make a difference. And the other thing that you raised an interesting point, we should be careful not to lump the desire to get rid of, the president's desire to get rid of the U.S. Department of Education as an attempt to eliminate wasteful spending. Every penny that we get from the federal government is accounted for. We get audited 6 ways to Sunday. And only after it's been approved, filled out all the forms, we spend the money, then we get it back. So I understand the waste, fraud, and abuse argument for DOGE. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and offer any commentary about that. That's, you know, I've never worked a day in the federal bureaucracy, so that's not really for me to comment on. But with respect to the federal money that we get in schools, every single penny is accounted for. And there's very, very, very little waste in that. You know, the only waste that people talk to me about is the federal student lunch program. When we community, you know, makes certain districts community eligible, where kids who might not be in poverty might get a free lunch. And if the biggest leakage we get in this federal, you know, in federal expenditures of schools is that an 11-year-old who has wealthy parents in Clarence might get lunch or something like that when they shouldn't have, then, you know, so be it. It's not a $900 hammer at the Pentagon. It's an uncrustable in a school cafeteria, for goodness sakes.
All right. Hey, Michael, thank you very much. Michael Cornell, head of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association.